the event of the Blessed Mother meeting her cousin Elizabeth happened about 2,000 years ago. And God, in his wisdom, chose that time for Mary to give birth to the Christ child. Now, I can't imagine it happening today, to be honest, because of all the distractions and the noise and the technology that is always pulling us away from focusing on the will of God. In fact, I can imagine if it were happening today, Mary going up to Elizabeth, and just as she's about to say hello, her cell phone goes off. Or something like that. Fortunately, they didn't have to deal with those distractions. And they are distractions in that they pull us away, as I said, from really being able to listen. We have sirens going off. There was one this morning before Mass. There's the TV, the radio, the cell phone, of course, the computer, all this stuff going on. Does it help us focus on hearing the Word of God, or is it always a distraction, a temptation to pull us away from the moment? So maybe we're talking with someone, and that person should be the focus of our attention, but how many of us, when the cell phone goes off, just a minute, you know, we break up that connection with people, or I'm sure you've all seen it, I'm sure none of you do this, you're walking along like this. You know, you're not looking at anybody or smiling as if that's your God. And for many people, smartphones are their God. Technology is a God. So 2,000 years ago, thank God there wasn't any of this. So the Blessed Mother could hear the Holy Spirit when the Spirit spoke to her. God bless Elizabeth that she was not worried about what was in the oven getting Christmas cookies together, but she was wholeheartedly attentive to her cousin Mary when Mary appeared to her. In fact, she was so focused that even the baby in her womb, John the Baptist, leapt with joy when he heard the voice of the Blessed Mother. In this day and age, would the child in the womb hear anything other than maybe the noise that goes on around us? But God in his wisdom chose 2,000 years ago. And again, thank God for that. Thank God that at that time, they didn't have the distractions, the culture that we are part of and unfortunately play into too often, so that our attention is being pulled this way and that way and this way. And human beings, whoever they are, maybe secondary to what's going on our phones or on our iPads or whatever it might be. But we have the same choices that the Blessed Mother had and the same choices that Elizabeth had and all the great figures throughout history. We have the same choices, and the choices basically are, one, to listen to God and do the will of God, or two, to not listen to the Word of God and not do the will of God. We have the same choices that they had. Now, granted, built into our culture, and we're part of it, are all these distractions, but we don't have to give in to them. We don't have to give in to them. They say today that our ability to focus is diminishing. Our attention span is going down, not up, down. That we need to be sort of entertained if you want to get somebody's attention. But again, to really hear the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God prayerfully, we really need that quiet and silence. And Mother Teresa says that the fruit of silence is prayer. Do we take the time to go aside and listen to the Lord, to be quiet? Do we find ways to listen just to the Word of God, opening our Bibles, taking time to sit back quietly to listen to the Word of God? And we are called to do that so that, again, like the Blessed Mother and Elizabeth, we can make the choice to do the will of God. So our process, our focus as disciples is to hear the Word of God and then to put it into action, to do the will of God. And that's what our second reading from Hebrews tells us. God doesn't want sacrifices. He doesn't want this or that. He wants people who are willing to do his will. And in fact, Jesus says very clearly, and this is a good response to fundamentalists who say, you know, once saved, always saved. He said, not all those who cry, Lord, Lord, will be saved. That is, not all those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior are going to be saved, but only those who do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus says. We have to do, we have to live out the will of the Father. That's what Mary said. That's what she said to the angel Gabriel. She said, let it be done according to your will. Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane, not according to my will, but according to the will of the Father. We have the same question from God. Are you going to do my will? We know what the will of God is. It's number one, love God completely. Is God number one in our lives? Or is technology or other people or things that we possess, our careers, are those number one? Or is God? Are we willing to put everything aside in order to serve God? Because if God is number one, then everything else falls into place. We'll know exactly how to serve other people. And that's the second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do we really desire for other people the blessings of God that we have received? Which means, are we willing to share with others what we have? Not be judgmental, not to evaluate other people's worthiness, but simply to do it. Because again, who's our model in all this? Jesus. If he had evaluated our worthiness, would we be here? Would we be given the possibility of salvation? No. So we're called to act accordingly. Jesus did perfectly the will of the Father. Because of God in our lives, the graces that we get through the sacraments, through prayer, we're able, like the Blessed Mother, like Elizabeth, to do the will of God. But it's up to us to stop and say, okay, God, what is your will for me? And we know what the will is. Love God, love my neighbor as myself, which means all those things about feeding people, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, so forth and so on. And those are things we'll be judged on. But we know that. So how are we practicing that each and every day? Again, we're not born full-fledged Christians. Every day of our lives, to the day we die, we're going to be learning how to be a better disciple, how to go deeper into our faith, to be more willing to do the will of God, but we got to practice it. So for example, probably the most common sin that I hear confessed in confession, I'm not breaking the seal, so don't tell the bishop, probably the most common is, well, actually two, actually, I think, impatience. Have you ever confessed that? You experience it driving along. Some guy's going 40, he could be going 45, 50, and we get impatient. Or another one, judgmentalism. You ever get judgmental? It usually goes along with impatience. But there's two things that we can turn around in our lives by practicing virtuous living, practicing living patience. That is, when we're in a situation, to remind ourselves, what's the rush? I can be a blessing instead of a curse to other people. I can look around me and enjoy what's going on and bless that other person. And the more we do that, the more we're pulling back and allowing God to get into our hearts and our minds so we can be better disciples. Same with judgmentalism. It's so easy to fall into, well, if that person only did that, or they don't do that well, are we helping them grow? Are we helping them move along in their lives? Or do we just smugly say, you know, that's not a good person, I don't want to deal with them? Again, if we focus on God's response to us, God is patient. Love is patient. God did not come to judge us, although we will be judged, but he didn't come to judge us, but he came to kind of wake us up and say, look, you want to go down that path? Well, that path leads to hell. This is the path to eternal life. But we have to practice being patient. We have to practice being generous in our judgment, positive in our judgments. Looking at the individual, reminding ourselves that just like me, that person was made in the image and likeness of God. And that person, like me and every other person, is God's heart's desire. Wow, what a different way of looking at it. God loves that individual, no matter who they are, no matter what they do. He loves them because that's the only way that we're free to change and grow, to turn away from sin, to turn back to the Lord, to practice the will of God, to do the things that we're called to do. So even though we live in a culture that has a lot of toxic and diseased things in it, we don't have to surrender to it. We've got control, but it means for us as Christians to stop and say, who is God? Who is my God? What is the will of God? Am I doing it? What am I doing to practice the will of God? So that when I go out these doors, I'm constantly working at changing, practicing, doing my Christian duty, being a good disciple. So that when I go out again, I get into a traffic jam, I can say, hey, I don't have to be impatient. I don't have to go there. Or that person, you know, I can be a blessing to them. I can even go up to them and smile and say hello. But we have a lot of power in our lives because of God's presence in our lives. He's walking right along with us, reminding us who we are. We're called, like Jesus, to be a light to the world, to bring his peace, to bring his healing, especially during this Jubilee year, to bring his mercy, to offer it to people so that they can grow and change, just as we hopefully want to grow and change. So again, being a Christian is not just about being able to talk about the teachings of the church. It's also about living the teachings of the church, living the will of God, doing what God tells us to do so that we can bring those good things to the world that we want in our own lives. Peace, joy, hope, love. So don't underestimate the power that you have as a Christian, baptized in the image and likeness in the name of Jesus Christ, the power that you've been given to go into the world and bring Christ to the world. And it takes practice like anything else, every single day to practice it, and to be like the Blessed Mother each and every day to say, yes, Lord, according to your will, let it be done to me according to your will, what you want, and I will work at that each and every day. So, not just in this last week of Advent, but every day of the year, we're called to emulate what the Blessed Mother said to the Lord, what Elizabeth said to the Lord, what all the apostles and saints throughout the centuries said to the Lord, to say, yes, Lord, I come to do your will, and to practice doing it, and to judge ourselves, to evaluate ourselves each day as to how well we have practiced the will of God, and then to make changes, to ask for forgiveness where necessary, so that we can truly be the disciples we're called to be. So as we continue to prepare for the coming of the Prince of Peace at Christmas and hoping for his coming at the end of time, make that soon, we're called to practice living the life of Christ each and every day, to bring Christ out into the world, to really be, as many people say, to be a blessing to other people, a blessing that God has put on the earth in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, so that other people too can see the good things of the Lord, come to believe, and join us as we all grow as disciples of the Lord.